6. Galatians chapter 6. Good news and bad news. What would you like first? Everybody always says, give me the bad news first. That way I end with good news, right? So next slide, please, Wendy. Some of the bad news that's going around, and this is kind of interesting because, you know, I watch a lot of news. I find the news from the States is very exciting. News in Canada is very blasé and bland and all that kind of stuff. You know, we don't know how to do news up here in Canada. I don't know what it is. They know how to do it down there. They even call themselves all fake news down there. So it's interesting. But anyway, I saw this, that there's because of the stand on pro-life for some of the states down there, they're going back to pro-life, whereas others are very pro-abortion and late-term abortion, even to the abortion where a baby is taken from the mother's womb, and at that point, they can still kill it. And it's terrible to hear that. So anyway, some of the states have really got an uproar over it, and so they're going back to pro-life status. They want to see something happen in their states. So the other side said, you know, if any of the government officials are going to travel by plane to a pro-life state, we're not going to fund them. So I thought, that's pretty mean, isn't it? You know, you say, because you're going to go to a pro-life state, you're going to travel there by plane or whatever, we're not going to pay for your plane fare. We're not going to pay for anything while you go there. And that's really a strike against the people who are standing for pro-life. Next slide, please, Wendy. A Christian teacher was fired for not using the transgender student's pronouns. There was a girl that wanted to change to a boy. And this professor, this teacher, was a Christian, and he didn't want to get into that calling he, she, or whatever. So he made arrangements to call the student by their name. But apparently at the end of the year, they were having some sort of virtual reality where they put the goggles on, and one of the students was traveling around the classroom, especially this one, the transgender one, it was going towards the wall, and the teacher yelled out, "Stop her!" And, of course, she was already changed into the very place of being a boy. And so, anyway, he was taken to court and fired because he said her when her has become a him. Society is crazy, isn't it? Excuse me, he, her, him, it, whatever. You know, how are you going to call them and all that? Anyway, this Christian teacher was fired because of all of that. And so that's the bad news. You want the good news now? Good news. Next slide, please, Wendy. I don't know if anybody saw this lady down in the California, Los Angeles subway. She's from Russia. She came here about 20-some years ago, and she's called the angelic singing subway woman. Anyway, she was into a lot of the music from over there, the ballet and so forth, and she came to the States and was continuing on that, but lost her job. She had a violin, and she used to go out and to play on the streets, raising money. She would open her violin case and raise money, but somebody came along and smashed her violin all to bits, and so she became a street person. You see her with her baggage there that she was going around, but anyway, she can sing wonderfully. This police officer was down the subway one time, and she was just singing away. And you can go on YouTube and hear her singing because she has got an angelic voice. Funding? GoFundMe? GoFundMe, that's what it's called. Anyway, they raised $75,000 for her. And one of the, I don't know why they call them record clubs or record companies, because they don't make records anymore, per se. But anyway, they gave her a record contract. And a real good story that her life has turned around. This officer that saw her in that very situation wanted to see something go ahead. And I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but he really turned it around for her and put her viral in the news. And so people are rallying all around there. Isn't that good news? How about, next slide, please. Good news. I don't know if anybody saw this. Yes. But the police officer is the lady here. She was going into her apartment, or so she thought, about a year or so ago, but she walked into the wrong apartment and shot the person who she thought was an intruder. She still had her weapon with her from being a police officer, and shot the young man in his own apartment and killed him. Now, the fellow that is on the other side hugging her is the brother of the man who was killed over about a year ago. He got up to the stand and he said some interesting words. He said, "I love you as a person and I don't wish anything bad on you," the 18-year-old said to Amber Geiger. The first hug was stunning enough, a young man embracing his brother's killer for nearly a minute in the middle of the courtroom just after telling the woman, "I forgive you. I love you as a person and I don't wish anything bad on you." He said, and he wanted her to come to God. He says, "Give your life to Christ. I forgive you." And the next thing that happened was, and this really raised the uproar, because if you saw the video, you would have seen the judge sitting in the background just wiping her face with Kleenex, going through this whole scenario of him hugging her and telling her, "I forgive you for killing my brother." What a moment on TV it was caught. Of course, those who are atheists really didn't like this. The judge walked over and brought her Bible and said, "I want to give you this." Even though she was being sentenced to 10 years in prison, "I want to give you this. Open the gospel to John 3:16. Go there and read that verse because God loves you so very much." The atheists got all upset because she presented this lady with her Bible and gave her Bible. But I thought that was so wonderful to see on TV that forgiveness is still alive all around us. Isn't that wonderful? And sometimes it's very hard to forgive. But this 18-year-old young man found it in his heart, losing his brother, turned to this woman, embraced her, and said, "I forgive you." Amen. Next slide, please, Wendy. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 to 9 says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And I enlarge the font in there because I really believe that's a place we need to be today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, your goodness. We just thank you for examples of forgiveness that we see in society, that you are still alive in our world. You're still doing great and mighty things. And help us all to be captivated by when we see these good things happening around us. So we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Be with us now as we just take the time around this word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, I love autumn. It's a beautiful time of the year when you start seeing the leaves changing, and it's beautiful. I don't like what happens after the leaves come down, and that's afterwards. Oh, you like it? You love snow? Good, I'll bring some your way. Hallelujah. But I kind of like autumn. It's nice, you know. The summer was good. Sometimes it gets too hot, but in the autumn, the air is cool and it's crisp. There was a couple of mornings this week with frost advisories out there. But the leaves are beginning to change in color, and they're starting to fall to the ground. It's an absolutely beautiful season here in Canada, isn't it, Jimmy? Yeah, you weren't here last year. You only started in the snow. Now you're kind of finishing at a good spot. So it's all nice, the leaves, when they get going. But in this verse here in Galatians, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season," I like this because here's the season we're in, "due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." That verse in Galatians, I really believe that Paul was trying to get across something really interesting. Some words that really stick out to me are "grow weary" and "the season of our life," and also "losing heart." I looked at these things, and there's potential here of something. You know, as I read these verses, I think that Paul had in view the harvest. Just like we're in the autumn season and all the things are coming in right now, all the produce is there, the pumpkins, the squash, and the corn has all come in, and all those things, it's the autumn season when things come in. It's a harvesting season. But I think that as Paul was looking at this, he was looking at God's harvesting plans, and he was looking at also the ability or the inability of what would the church do or not do. And so as I look at this, there's a harvest to be had, for in due season we shall reap. There's a harvest to be had. God's plans are that there will be a harvest. Amen? God's plans are that he wants to harvest. And the very potential of this is the weary people and the losing of heart, where the harvest would be lost. Like a farmer, if they said, no, I'm not going to go out and get all the produce from the land. I'm not going to go outside, and I'm not going to get the tractor going. They wouldn't do anything. It's kind of like, you know, all you guys at St. Lawrence College. You know, I know when you go to college, it's exciting, yo. We're going to Canada. We're going to go to St. Lawrence College. It's exciting. Oh, man, I'm going to hit top A pluses. I'm going to be the top of my class. I can hardly wait. We're going to meet new people there at school. And it's all the excitement that happens. And it's kind of cool when you go to a college like Andrea's going and all that. But then all of a sudden, the teacher walks in the room and says, here's your assignment. Heavy on the S, assignments. And, wow, assignments? And there will be a midterm exam, and there will be a final exam. You need to memorize this. You need to have 5 books read. And all of a sudden, you know, the... going from class to class, and you know, it's so intimidating when you go into those classes and you can see all that kind of stuff happen, you know, and you came there because all you could see was school was going to give me some employment, but all of a sudden you stuck in the right now, the school and all that stuff, and all of a sudden, I wonder if you start losing heart or start getting weary in some of the things that go on at school. You know, at Bible college, I've shared with you before that in my class there's about 95 people. I think there's about 8, maybe 10 max. Some dropped out. Some dropped out after school. Some dropped out of ministry and all that. But it's always sad to see. And I don't know if you, for going to St. Lawrence College, will see people. All of a sudden, they're not sitting in the classroom anymore. They've dropped out, or somebody else is gone by the wayside. Next slide, please, Wendy. I think it's important to see, because as you look at this verse, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I looked at those two words, weary and faint not, or lose heart. In the King James Version, it says faint. In the New King James Version, it says lose heart at the end. But I thought these two were interesting, because I want to stay with the King James Version, which is faint not. But if you look at the word weary in the Greek, it's ekakakio. It's to be bad or weak or to fail in heart, faint, and be weary. And from the two parts of that word, you've got ek, which is abundance, abundant, and kakos, which means depraved. So there's an abundant weakness, if you could put it under that understanding. And then you go to faint, which is Greek and ekleo, to relax or to faint. But it also has two parts to it, ek, which is the very same as the one above it, which is the abundance or the abundant part of it all. But the L-Y-O, to loosen or break up or destroy, dissolve, melt, or put down. And as I looked at all those things, I mean, I like to share good things. That's why I gave you those two good things. After sharing some bad news, I gave you some good news. But I like good things that are happening. There's too much negative in our world. Too much negativity, even in the workplaces. Too much negativity, maybe even in our homes. It shouldn't be there. I think that we need to dwell upon the positive. Betty and I are always trying to push ourselves to stay on that plus side. And it's not easy, is it, to stay on the positive? What are you laughing about, Debbie?
I'm filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Praise God. Stay that way. Hallelujah. But I think that we, as we look at this verse, I think we get the understanding that Paul is talking about agriculture, about farming, about bringing in the harvest and getting the productive work. When we talk about good things, like when we see souls saved and we see people coming to Christ and turning their life over to Jesus. And that's a harvest. That's a spiritual harvest of which we're looking for. It's the productivity, which I believe that Paul has in his mind, is what we are looking for, even though he relates it to the harvest and the agriculture all around him. And I like to be able to see a harvest. How about you? I like to see productivity. Many said last week to me after the lunch we had, Pastor, those beans were so good. They were awesome. They were I must have got about 40, 50 people saying that they are really good beans. And I was going, thank you. Appreciate that. You go around. Yeah, but it takes hard work to make those beans. Somebody asked me, did I just open up a can? It takes hard work. It takes long time. Like you've got to get those plastic bag of pea beans off the shelf in the grocery store. It says to soak them overnight. You got to put them in a big pot. And when you put them in the pot, they start soaking and enlarging. And then the water you poured in before, all the beans are on top of the water. So you got to pour more water in there, making sure that they're always soaked. You got to go through that. I'm giving you my recipe. Anybody writing this down? So as you go through all that, and you put those beans in the pot, and then the next morning you get up, the only thing that Betty does for me is cut the onion. Okay, I put onion in my beans. She cuts that because I cannot stand onions. The tears will come down my face. The sore eyes, they enlarge. They get all red. And you can come over and cut the onions then. But anyway, I made it all except for the onions. And I put it in the oven, and it takes 7 hours to cook. And in that 7 hours, you've got to keep going to make sure there's enough water covering the beans in the pot because you don't want them to dry out. You've got to make sure they're covered. So I keep checking every half hour, every hour, make sure that those beans are covered. Then it says, here's another part of the recipe in case you're taking notes. It says at the end of 4 hours, you go into those beans and you take out a little cupful and you start mashing them down, okay? Right? Anybody who knows beans, I have to do that, then you put them back in. And you do that about 5 or 6 places in the beans, trying to get those mushed beans into it. And then you continue cooking for another 3 hours, making sure that they're always covered with water. So the attention is on that oven, always on getting the water in there, making sure those beans are good. And so I go through all that hard work. And when I come in here on the Sunday with those beans, you say, Pastor, those beans, they were so good. I said, thank you. It took a lot of hard work. Now, did I come ready, willing, and wanting of somebody to say, Pastor, those are good beans, best you've ever made? I mean, it feels good. But you know why I cooked those beans? For the church. I had to put up with the smell all through my house. When I laid my head on my pillow that night, beans smell all through the pillow, and it carried over until about Monday. I think Tuesday was starting to dissolve in our house, but I put up with all that because I wanted to give you guys some beans, okay? So I believe that it takes work for anything, and now I did not want to get any of the credit. I wanted to do it for you guys, and I wanted to give the glory to God because I want to build the church. Amen. And so whatever we can do to build the church. And I realize that building a church, and we've welcomed 4 new members in here. They've come along and said, we're working. We're going to be involved in stuff. We're going to be involved in the work of the Lord. To build a church, you just can't watch it. Say, oh, I wonder what's happening with the church. You have to be a worker in the church. Can you say amen? You've got to be involved in things. You've got to do it for the glory of God. It's not somehow you're going to go in here and say, oh, I'll do this so I can get a pat on the back. You're doing it for the glory of God. You're doing it for reaching people because you want to see a harvest for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why it says a few verses before that, when we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Yes, to all. So, I want to take a few moments this morning before we go to the communion table to kind of sum up all that we spoke about in September about the church and church membership and all the things that you and I have as such a blessing. That's why it says, and I want to concentrate on this verse, verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If you look at those verses beforehand, I read them. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So if we're sowing to the Spirit, something's going to happen. If we're doing for something for me, myself and I, we reap only what we get in, of course, it's called corruption here, but I want to get something that leads to everlasting life. How about you? You know, as we see all these verses coming together, sowing, reaping, and weariness, and doing good, it all pertains to the harvest. The harvest is of the utmost importance to the church. It's why Paul tells us in verse 9, what can happen if the harvesting in our soul, in our spirit, in our flesh, we lose the vision? And we know what the Proverbs say, whoever loses their vision will perish. So I want to give you two negatives here this morning, weary and faint. The whole portion of text is about us staying on target for the Lord Jesus Christ. Next slide, please, Wendy. I want to give you three things today on this first Sunday of October, as we're now right into the autumn season. Three things. Number one, the harvest. Number two, the perseverance that keeps the harvesting alive, and the negatives that threaten the harvest. Are you ready? We as a church have probably heard many messages on harvesting and what we should be doing and the productivity and the things that we need to carry on. I'm not going to belabor the point, but we all know these things. And Jesus even said in John chapter 4, verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest. It's all around us. Everybody around us is ready for coming to Jesus. I really believe that. Some take a little bit more work to get them into the fold. Sometimes people are just really willing and able. I've been longing to come to church. I've been longing to come to Jesus, and it's very simple. Others, they'll fight you tooth and nail to say, I'm not going to go to that church. I'm not going to believe in your God, and they'll go through all the arguments to get you that place. But Jesus, I believe, that said, the harvest is already white before us. Then he said also something over Matthew chapter 9. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's the condition. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So he said this, therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's why Jesus sent them out, two by two. He sent them out to go out into the preaching the good news, healing people, giving them the gospel. It's the harvest. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 10, I love this, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How they shall call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news. Good news. Anybody heard that before? Or am I singing all by myself? Announcing peace, proclaiming years of happiness. Our God reigns, our God reigns, and our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. Amen. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. Harvest people. James said in James chapter 5, verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. So be patient, but keep your eyes on the harvest. Amen? So I think we understand as Christians the Great Commission still stands, hasn't been taken away. We're supposed to reach out with love. We're supposed to go and find people who don't know Jesus and love on them and tell them about Jesus if we have the opportunities. Amen? Second thing, the perseverance that keeps harvesting alive. This is crucial to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary. Let us keep going. Amen. Let us persevere. Amen. Let us stay on target and make sure that we're running for that prize. Amen? So the word tells us about this farmer that is a harvesting. You know, I think that, you know, as I shared with you last week, that God gave me a wonderful example that when we went to the Parisian Manor, and we go into the seniors' homes, as I said last week, that we go all the time, and you're going there and playing the guitar, and you're singing to the seniors, and they come in, and they look at you and say, thank you for coming, and they leave, wheelchairs, walkers, canes, and some can walk, but they leave, and you wonder, God, am I doing anything productive here? Am I doing anything good? Am I seeing any fruit of the labors that Betty and I have been going into the seniors' homes? And then a week ago Friday, as the Parisian Manor, we went in to give a service, and one little lady came up to me after the service, and as I said last week, she came and says, I've just strayed from Jesus. I want to get back, and I want to be encouraged. And she said, could you pray for me? I said, I'd be delighted to pray for you to get back to Jesus and get on fire for him. And so I said, thank you, Jesus. You know, I needed that. Betty needed that. We needed that as we were going to the Parisian Manor. We need that to show that what we're doing is productive. And I believe that God will give us those glimpses every now and then of the good work that we're doing. Sometimes we get into the dust and the swirl of the work and everything else. We're wondering if we're doing anything good. And all of a sudden, God will just give you a glimpse and show you something. I can remember when we were in Morrisburg back in the 80s, and somebody came into church, and you know the Sunday school workers, it's a real belaboring job, isn't it? You go in there looking after those kids and you know, just feeding them, and say, where's the cookies? You know, that's all they want, and you wonder what's happening in the Sunday school classes, if you're ever doing anything good. And I can remember in Morrisburg, we used to have testimony time in the evening service. Anybody know what an evening service is? In the evening service, we had testimony time, and somebody came into the church that she said, I used to come to this church many years ago, and I went to the Sunday school class, and I used to, I said bad things, I acted up, and I wasn't the best of Sunday school pupils and all that, but I was planted the word of God in my heart. And I've been going through rough times in my life. And 20 years later, she walks into church and said, I remembered what I was told. And the Sunday school teacher was still sitting there, 20 years older, but they were wondering if they'd been productive or not. And they were sitting there, and this person stands up and says, I need to get back to Jesus. I need to refresh that word that I learned in Sunday school. And what a blessing it was. She looked there as a Sunday school teacher. She was getting blessed, you know, like crazy as she was sitting there thanking God for getting that very moment in a church service 20 years later. Isn't that wonderful? So you never know how you're doing or what you're doing, if you're making any progress, but that's why Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? It's not in vain. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay focused on target. You need to persevere because that keeps the harvesting alive. Hallelujah. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have been shown through his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen? Anybody ever go over to that scary book, Revelations? Remember chapter 2 and 3 are to the seven churches? How many like commands? Not really. Well, listen to this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, to the church at Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command. Did you hear that? Because you have kept my command to persevere. Let me say it again. Because you have kept my command to persevere. It almost sounds like Jesus saying, keep persevering. Keep doing it. Keep going. It sounds like a command, doesn't it? Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Imagine a command to persevere. Do it! Oh, sorry. That woke you up, right? I mean, that's logical. If you don't persevere, no harvest. So persevere. The negatives that threaten the harvest, weariness and faintness, losing heart. Anybody ever know what, in the dictionary, what weariness is? And I liked what they had said on the Truth Project. I almost was tempted to go online and find if I could find a Webster's Dictionary from 1828, I think that was the year, and to go back and look at the meaning of a word from then and looking at the meaning of the word now, because they've changed so much. We were shown that in the Truth Project on Wednesday night. I would like to find out, because, you know, sometimes I think that we just say, oh, you're weary, and we don't get the full impact of what weariness really is. One thing that weariness is, it's not tiredness, okay? We need to get that into our minds just in case you got scared over that thought, because we all get tired at times, don't we? I do. You do. We get tired. We get tired at times. And it's impossible to work without getting tired at times. Or you go through a school, up all night, studying and doing all that. You get tired. Oh, no, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. You know, I'm just tired. And you go through all these things in your life. You get tired. And Jesus, you go through the Gospels. Even Jesus got tired so many times. Remember in John chapter 4 when he sat down by the well and all the disciples said, you sit here because you're tired and we're going to go into the village and bring back some food and refreshments for us. And so he sat there and had the opportunity to talk to the Samaritan woman. But you and I live in a body that is flesh and blood, and we can only do so much in a 24-hour day. We can only do so much in a 7-day week. We can only do so much, and that's why I think the Word tells us that we need to have a Sabbath or a day of rest for the body. Even the farm fields are laid fallow after every 7 years. Weariness is not being tired. Weariness is losing heart. It's losing heart. It's losing interest. It's becoming despondent. It's like becoming dull. It's like a knife that if you never sharpen your knife, it will never cut. And they say, but cutting onions, you got to have a sharp knife, Betty. So I don't know. Somebody said, who was it last week? Put it in the freezer. Somebody said that to me last week. Put the onion in the freezer and then you cut it and it's easier. It won't get all that spray. And those are all the things Betty should hear, not me. Running cold water, all those things. Betty, did you hear those? I'm still not going to cut the onions, even though people give me all this advice. But it's like, you know, taking an onion and take a dull knife with a spray all over the place on your face and crying and weeping all over this onion that you're cutting. You know, but that's exactly what it is. You're losing heart. You're becoming like a knife that is no longer sharp. You're losing your edge. It's like an attitude that comes along and said, you know, how many times have you ever felt or thought or even experienced saying these words, going to church, is it really worth it? Serving Jesus, is it really worth it? Because the enemy will sometimes come in and tell us, you know, you're really not doing anything anyway. It's not amounting to anything, so is it really worth it? And the enemy lies at us. And that's why Jesus in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he said, always pray and do not lose heart. The word weary is doing good, well doing, giving us a word of danger ahead of us. You know, if you get weary, it's in front of every person. If you're working for Jesus, that word weary is in front of you all the time, all the time. It's before us all. It's like a pothole on the road. Watch out. You could get weary. Don't grow weary. We need to know that this is something that awaits us, and it's for all of us living and working for Jesus. It almost seems like it's natural in a way that we could get weary in well-doing. But we've got to guard against those things. Stay away from it. Do not grow weary while doing good. The other one is fainting. If weariness is losing heart, losing interest, fainting is then loosening of it all. Just coming to the end of all that negativity and just throwing up your hands. Anybody ever faint? It's quite the experience, isn't it? I've fainted 3 times in my life. The first time was when I was at school in grade 7. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but some kid took and sharpened his pencil. Remember how he used to go, and we're all standing in line. He turns around at me. I don't know whether we had a bad day or not. You know, he just took his pencil all nicely sharpened and jabbed it right into my arm. I could show you that little spot. It's still blue in there from the lead that was freshly sharpened. And when I got home, I told my dad. And my dad says, well, did it break off any of the lead that was freshly sharpened? I said, I don't know. So my dad took me into the bathroom, took out, you know the ladies sew with those little needles? He took out this longer one. I don't know if they're called darning needles, whatever they are. And my dad says, you've got to search around to see if there's any lead in there. And I, little boy looking at my arm with this big long needle, my dad's in there digging around to see if there's any lead there. And I was standing by the door of the bathroom, and all of a sudden I fainted. I don't know why, but I just fainted. And my mother was sitting out in the living room, thought my dad hit me. And, George, what did you do to Russell? I'm laying on the floor. And, of course, when you come out of the faint, what a weird feeling. It's like, you know, you've been gone for a few moments. Second time I fainted, I was out playing hockey on a pond, and we had a puck, and somebody shot the puck, and it was coming right for me, right from my face or whatever, and the instinct is to put your hands up or protect you. Anyway, I put my arms up, and we didn't have any hockey equipment on. The hockey puck hit me right on. Anybody know what the funny bone is? It's not funny. It's not funny. It hit me right on that funny bone, and all of a sudden, I'm gone. And then you wake up and all these other players are... You see all those faces looking up at you, looking down at you, and you're looking up at them. And wow, what an experience. Another time we were out in I think it was up near the Halliburton area. We were climbing up these steep hills, and I was coming down. I tripped on a rock, hit... There's a funny bone in your knee. Did you know that? There's one there, too. I don't know why they call them funny, but they're not funny to me. But anyway, I hit that on my knee, and the next thing I knew, all my friends were looking at me again. I can remember those 3 times clear as anything else in my life when I fainted. Do you remember those times when you fainted? They're weird. They're weird times. Like, it's like you cannot control anything about it. It's just like you go into this stupor or you're gone. You're just oblivious to all that's happening. All of a sudden, you snap out of it, and you come out of this faint. But it's... I really believe that that was the ultimate of this growing weary and coming to this place. If we do not lose heart, if we do not faint, if we do not come to the end, if we go into that very place, we're done for. So that's what Paul is really warning about, by the fainting. G. Campbell Morgan said it very clearly. He said, fainting is failure of coordination. So that the thing that we attempt is not done because we have lost the power to do it. Fainting is the outcome of weariness. It's the last issue. It's the final straw, I guess, that broke the camel's back. So as you look at this, how can we win? We're just flesh and blood. How can we ever overcome this? Because we're prone to all the concepts of negativity. Our flesh loves the easy boy chair. You know, honey, you go to church, I'll just... Pierre, how come you have Bible study so late? The easy boy chair is easy, right? Now that we're into the autumn season and it's getting darker earlier, you know, oh, it's dark outside. I don't think I'll go tonight. No, I think I'll just stay right here. Oh, put the fire on, Betty. Yeah. Let's just stay close to the fire. It's nice here. And just enjoy this evening. Shh. Don't tell anybody else. It's kind of like, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. I went to this parable because I remembered when I thought of this very moment, eat, drink. I went to the parable and I read it and reread it and I looked at it and you ever notice that parables seem to make sense at certain times? You know, and they kind of hit you differently. I mean, you could read your Bible through 15,000 times. You go over these parables and they don't really hit you until you get this one time that really takes an impact in your life. Now listen to this, because this is a parable that Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. He spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, well, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. There I will store all my crops and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and not as rich toward God. As I started looking at it, I mean, we can read many things into the parables, but I couldn't help but say, this guy got a little distracted. Could you say that? Oh, I've done a pretty good job. My barn is full. I think I'll build another one. No, I'll tear that one down, build another one, because I've got so much. He got distracted from really what was happening and what was really the meaning for it all. And that's why he begins to lay up treasures for himself, and he's not rich toward God. How about when Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So, harvesting means that we're laying up treasures in a meaningful place, right? When I found Jesus, I started going around telling just about everybody I could find. I was crazy. I was one of those crazy Christians. And even my mom and dad, like they thought I was gone bonkers. And when I told them, my mom and dad, I was going to Bible college, they thought I'd really lost it. But you know, when you find Jesus, you found something wonderful. He changed your life. Changed everything about you. Like, you know, I was going nowhere. I was going nowhere, man, living in a nowhere land. You ever heard that song? No, that's where I was, just going nowhere. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in and changes me. He gave me ambition, gave me drive, gave me a future, gave me plans, gave me something to hold on to. It was so wonderful. I just wanted to get into that very place of knowing Jesus so very much. And so that's why we tell people the harvesting is all around us. That's why I became a pastor. That's why I love living for the Lord Jesus, because I want to tell people about Jesus, because he changed my life. And if he could change my life where I was going, he can obviously change your life. Amen? He's not limited to just certain people. But I believe this is when you start thinking about the harvest, and we just talked about church membership. We went through September about church membership in the church. This is where the church comes in, and this is where the church comes in strong. Okay? Now, hear me out here, because the vision of the harvest is strengthened and maintained only by maintaining fellowship with God and his church. Did you get that? God's people and God and God's people. The church encourages both. You know, we as a church, we encourage each other to get close to God. Make sure you get to church. Get close to God, but make sure you come in and get fellowship. You need us. We're a body. We encourage each other. We share with one another. We go through all the things of life together. You know, as I look through the Word and you think about the church and the meaning of the church, it's only in the realization of the fellowship that Jesus has taught us. And the Word of God tells, even James said, we walk in the light as He is in the light. We're in fellowship with the Father, fellowship with God. We're with Him. I like what Psalm 91 says, go to the secret place and find that very place where you uncover all the blessings of God. So we need to get to that secret place. Or as Isaiah the prophet said, you know, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. He had an experience with God, and he found that experience changed his life. He said, here am I, send me. He knew the harvest field was before him. And that's why we have to hear from God as well as see God, because listening for His voice is constantly in our life. Doing these things and more, you will stay focused on the harvest. Doing all these things that we find in the Word of God, you will stay focused on the harvest. Amen? Someone once said, there will never be the harvest in the autumn unless there has first been the cold of the previous autumn and the merging into the snows and the desolation of winter. It's through all these comes the spring, the summer, and the harvest. Amen. You know, I always encourage people. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm getting old, Pastor. I can't do anything. I said, well, I'm not asking you to run the quarter mile in 15 seconds. Okay? I think that you all know your body, and you know what you can do. I always encourage people, you got to do something. For Jesus. You got to do something. You know, I've always heard people over the years, and I can remember a fellow in one church that said he was going to wait till he retired before he worked for Jesus. He said, well, once I get rid of all my work and all the time and the stress and everything like that, then I'll come in and I'll do work in the church and I'll work for Jesus and everything else. I said, what happens if you die before you get retired? That means you never did any work for Jesus? You know, you're going to be standing before God one day. And Jesus, I was waiting till I was 65. And I've heard so many times over the years where people say, you know, I did Sunday school for 10 years. I worked at that for 15, and I did all that. I did my time. I would say, what? Were you in jail? Wow. I didn't know we had a slot in life where there was our time. Yeah. I thought my time was when I was born again, until my last breath. Isn't that my time? Isn't that your time? That's where we have to be. Now, please, don't come in here. And sometimes it's the ones who, you know, step up and, oh, yeah, oh, well, I'll do that too, Pastor. No, I could do that. Oh, yeah, I'll do that too. And they want to do 1,000 things in the church, and you wonder why they burn out and they lose all their energy and all that. I just say, you know, just take one or two things and do it to the best of your abilities. Give it your all and shine, shine, shine for Jesus, and let that just be representative in the body of Christ, because the fields are white for harvesting. And if we get everybody to just do one thing, do it well. If you want to even do two things, do it well, but just do something for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, last picture before we go to the communion table. I read this story of this little guy. No, it's not this little guy. I just got that off the web. But, you know, have you ever seen the kids out raking leaves with Daddy, and, you know, Daddy's doing the most work, and they're kind of pulling a couple of leaves, and they think they're doing something. But anyway, the story goes about this little boy that was with his daddy out in the backyard and raking away, and goes under a bush, and he founds a branch that came off one of the limbs of the tree. And he looks at it for a little while, and he takes that branch and kind of goes over, and he finds some dirt that's all loose, and he pulls the dirt back, and he takes the branch and pokes it into the ground. And then brings the dirt all back up there. Because he had an idea that that thing died, and the only way to get it back to life was to put it into the dirt. And he called to his dad, Daddy, come over here and help me. And he was taking all the leaves that were falling off, and he was trying to stick them onto the branch trying to take those leaves and stick them on because he saw that this thing was dead and he wanted to bring it back to life. And he was just so concerned about getting life back into this branch and bringing the leaves back on there. He couldn't understand because he was so young about how this all happened, that those branches were broken dead and leaves off. And he was just, you know, that's the way kids are. And kids have this incredible faith that he thought if he planted it, he could bring back life. He thought if he had, somehow his daddy could help him put those leaves back on the branch, that would come back. And I know that sometimes in our life that we get so broken and we feel like that dead branch, and we just feel like there's no hope for us. And, you know, what can I do? What can I do for God? Or, you know, I've done this or I've done that, but I just, we get to this place where we feel like we're no good. That's another thing that happens when you're growing weary and you lose heart. I'm no good. No good. And with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So it doesn't matter where we are, what we've faced, what's happened in our life, broken as we can be, Jesus can mend the broken pieces, because he's got his eyes on the harvest. And if you're part of the harvest, he wants you to get back into the fold. He wants you to get back into the work. He wants you to get back into the place where you're living for Jesus and walking for Jesus and doing all you can for Jesus. That's why he came into the world. That's why we're going to be going to the communion table and talking about the Lord, how he died for us and how he gave his life for us. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I thank you so much for the life that we experience in you, for the life that you radiate into our lives. As the Bible says, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. There's no life in us, but you came along and lift us from the miry clay, the deadness of life. And you give us this energy. You give us this life, hard to describe, Lord, but all we know is that we are a changed person. I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to be able to stand here and declare that our God reigns. Jesus is alive. So I pray this morning, as many have heard this, maybe they're broken. Maybe they're going through storms of life. Maybe they're facing insurmountable walls and things that just don't look like they can get through. Father, I pray this morning that you just send the lifeline their way. You would send life their way. I pray this morning, Lord, turn their mourning into dancing. Turn their sorrow into joy. God, turn it around. Bring them to the place of living for Jesus with all they have, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would there be somebody here this morning that just says, I need Jesus? And if that's the feeling that you're getting, if that's what you're going through right now, I'm just going to ask you to do something, because I believe this is very important. I'm going to ask you if you would just put your hand up quickly and put it down, and we'll pray for you this morning that your life would be embedded in Jesus and that you would be so close to him. Anybody here this morning at all want to give their life over to Jesus, that you've had it all, this life, you want to turn back to him, you want to give your life to him? Anybody at all this morning?